This week on the Commander Clash, we're going to tier list cards that are really good in any deck that cares about a specific creature type. Hello everyone and welcome back to the Commander Clash podcast, where the Commander Clash crew talks all things Commander. And this week, with Lorwyn Eclipse in mind, we're going to be ranking cards that are really good in Commander decks that care about a specific creature type. But these are cards that are good in any creature type. So this isn't going to be like Lord of Atlantis is good in Merfolk or whatever, but these are cards that are really good, or maybe really bad, because we're going to put them on a tier list, in any deck that cares about a creature type. And joining me to do this, we got the small cast this week. Tomer is out sick, but Phil and Krim are here. How's it going today, guys?
Hey, oh, doing very
going
well.
All right. It's going all right. I'm excited because, I mean, I know that a lot of people have this like view of like how like Kindred decks play and all that. Like, oh, you just load every creature type into a deck and that's it. But like that's a gross oversimplification of it. And there's a lot of importance in deck building when it comes to Kindred types.
I'm pretty excited about this for two reasons. One is we did something like this like 3 or 4 years ago, but we've gotten a ton of new creature type matters cards since then. And we got a ton of them in Lorwyn Eclipse, and some of them are pretty cool. And I want to see what you guys think about these new cards, that they're actually worth playing in your Kindred or tribal decks or whatever. But before we get
like
into
Donatello
that,
and all of
like,
them?
Like Donatello, yeah. Like Lorwyn Eclipse All-Star from pre-release, Donatello. But before we get into that, our show is brought to you by Foil Armor. Do you have problems with your foils curling? Well, Foil Armor is the ultimate solution for flattening your foils. It's a two-way humidity pack that you simply put inside an airtight container with your cards, and Foil Armor will absorb and release moisture, making your cards completely flat. Put a pack inside your storage box to keep your cards flat forever, and you can head over to foilarmor.com and use the code MTGGoldfish to get 15% off. Our show is also brought to you by Card Conduit, the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. If you ever get tired of the hassles of buy listing, you can skip them with Card Conduit. You can use their curated service. We send in as many cards as you want with a buy list value of a dollar or more and pay just a 5% service fee. And if you want to do a bit of work, you can use their sorted service where you list and sort your cards in advance and pay just a 2% fee. Either way, you're going to get a detailed report with the results and a fast payment once your order is processed. And you can even get another 10% off by heading over to cardconduit.com/mtggoldfish. Card Conduit, it's the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. And now it's time for the comment of the week. So last week, we talked about the top Lorwyn Eclipse cards for Commander. And our top comment comes from @PlasticStrategy. Says, missed Richards this episode. I could hear him arguing that Mirror Form was Blue Ramp in my head. And I'm sure he would have been.
How dare you speak of Mirror Form like this, hypothetical Richard?
All right, let's start tier listing some tribal support cards, and we're going to start off. So the way this is going to work, we got a lot of cards, so we're going to try to keep any individual card short. And some of the cards are kind of similar, so we grouped them together, and we'll talk about them kind of as a group and then rank them individually. And our scale for the day is basically S tier is, I would play this in every single creature type matters card. So it doesn't really matter if you're elves or merfolk or tree folk. The card's just so good you want to play them in all. And then A tier would be like most. B tier would be kind of 50-50. Down to D tier, which is, I would basically never play this in my creature type matters deck. So our first card for the day, this is a brand new card from Lorwyn Eclipse. It's a new red enchantment, Collective Inferno. So 5 mana. It says as it enters, choose a creature type, double all damage that sources you control of the chosen type would deal, and most importantly, you can convoke it. So in theory, you could be casting this card for literally 0 mana if you can tap enough creatures. So what do you guys think of Collective Inferno? We're gonna put it in the B tier to start. Do you think this card's good? Like, is this worth playing in your tribal decks, your Kindred decks?
I think this is a B tier for sure. You actually got it right out the gates.
You gotta, like, it does the thing kind of as efficient as they would allow it. But there are some tribes that don't care about attacking or dealing damage. Yeah. Like if you play elves, you attack 4,000 with a greater move. I don't think it matters if it's 2,000.
You don't need to double it. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a pretty good breakdown. It, like, I think the card is the best version of what it does if you're playing a creature type matters deck, but not every deck wants a damage doubler. So I guess that makes it pretty B tier. If you're Kindred deck and you want to double damage, play it. Otherwise,
is it just combat?
It is any damage sources of those types of the chosen type would deal. So I guess if you had a pinger that was the right type or something, it's mostly going to. Yeah. So there are some like shenanigans with certain commanders, but most of it's going to be combat damage.
Yeah.
All right. B. Let's leave it in the B tier and keep moving on. Next up, we have a twofer here. So we're going to rank these separately, but these cards are kind of similar as...
They are not.
They're a little similar. They're a little similar as RAS for creature type matters decks, right? So the one is the old school Kindred Dominance. Kindred Dominance, 7-mana black card, choose a creature type. You destroy all the creatures and aren't the chosen type. The new one, which I think is kind of similar, but we'll hear what Krim says in a minute because he doesn't see it the same. Winnowing is 6-mana Convoke. For each player, you choose a creature that player controls, and then each player sacrifices all other creatures that they control that don't share a creature type with the chosen creature that they control. So essentially, if you're all one creature type, you don't lose anything. Your opponents will each get to keep at least one creature, but if you choose a creature that's a unique type on their battlefield, they would sack all of their other creatures. So not a full Wrath, but still a kind of a Wrath effect. Krim, what do you think of Winnowing? I'm curious. You mentioned you didn't see it as similar to Kindred Dominance. What do you think of it?
Well, I think that first off, for starters, it's playable. Right? Like a Kindred Dominance.
I play Kindred Dominance. You don't play Kindred Dominance?
This used to be like $30. You remember that? This card was like pricey. But like it is 7-mana for a sweeper that gets blown out by everything that gives indestructible in the current day and year, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Sacrificing on Winnowing is way better. And on top of that, the Convoke is big, right? Like Convoke means that this potentially is a free sweeper in the right archetypes, and usually I'm seeing white. That means you're probably spawning a ton of things, there is a world. Maybe this is weird. I feel like this is going to be a sweeper that is going to be an all-star after we leave Lorwyn. And because right now, in the coming months, you're probably going to have tons of people playing, I want to play every elf, every goblin, every Lorwyn's going to get everybody in the Kindred mood. This is a little problematic in that this will not kill anything on anybody's board ever because if everybody's a goblin and if everyone is also an elf, it doesn't do anything. But once we leave the typal party, then this is actually going to sweep the board pretty hard.
I think Winnowing is very good, but I also think Kindred Dominance is still pretty good. I know it's 7-mana, but I actually still play it in some of my creature type matters decks. Phil, where are you at with these cards? What do you think of Winnowing?
Okay, so I opened Winnowing in the cool frame.
Cool.
And I thought, well, if I want to play it, now it's the time. It's just extended art. I don't even know if it has some super
cool
anime
art,
but no. The cool frame, the extended, whatever. So I thought about where would I put this, and then I thought, well, this wrecks all of my decks, so it's bad. But then again, now that I think about it, it's probably a good thing if you are the right deck, if it just wrecks my deck. I guess you have to choose an opponent's creature, which if they it's probably way better than I think. Now that I think about it, that it wrecks me,
it's good.
It's probably
then it wrecks
good,
people
yeah.
like you. Yeah, I mean, so Winnowing, I'm always a little skeptical of Wrath that leaves something behind, because traditionally, like Tragic Arrogance and stuff, the versions that leave behind, I can't remember all of them because they were so bad, I don't ever play them. But I'm a little skeptical of that. But I think the fact that, the Wanderer is good, but I think the Convoke makes up for any drawback here. Just the fact that this is usually going to be like 2-mana, 0-mana, you keep your board, your opponents lose their board. I'm tempted to put this as like an A-tier card, honestly. Like, I think in the short term, and maybe I'm overrating it because it's new and I haven't got to play with it much yet, but I think in the short term, if I'm playing a Kindred deck, a Tribal deck, I think, and I'm in white and like going wide, I think I would play this most of the time in those decks. But I don't know, where would you guys put Winnowing?
I'd at least put it at A. It is a very good sweeper in a Kindred style deck, right? That is, and white, I just assume naturally, like, can you think of many white, like, Kindred types that aren't just spawning and pooping?
No.
Like, most, right? Like,
angels, I mean, there's some white splashes that are not as go wide, but yeah, most white decks are going pretty wide. Angels, like, yeah, I guess angels might be an exception, but even they are like kind of like making angel tokens sometimes, depending on your build. So I think A seems reasonable to me. All right, what do you think, Phil? Are you good with A on Winnowing?
Maybe it's also good in, I mean, we're not talking about this, but it might also be good in Voltron. If you only have one creature, stays, and then can.
I think
Convoke
really
sucks,
nice.
Though. So
yeah, then you get the Convoke expensive. Value. Yeah.
I don't know. I think I like the card more when I see it played. Sadly, it's going to be played against me at least in with my own decks. So far, I don't have anything planned.
I like the sacrifice
a tribal deck, but
come on, the sacrifice has to make it good. I do like the right?
The Wanderer. The
sort
it's A for me for now. Maybe if I see it a couple of times.
You gotta test. I can't put it in S without playing with it more, I don't think. But I think A is like a fine starting point, and then we bump it up or down once we play with it a bit. What about Kindred Dominance in 2026? I feel like this is a card that I was... It was like, it's staple for me, and it's like
really?
Dropped down a little. I used to play this in like every time I built like a Kindred deck, I would just jam it. I don't think it's as high... is it used to be for me anymore. Like, it's not an auto include. It kind of depends more on the creature type I'm playing. So I think it's not an S tier, but I could see it being like an A or a B for me. Like, so like a high B or a low A. But Krim, I know you're a little more skeptical. You don't really play this one much anymore.
No, not really. Seven mana? Like, that's too much.
But it's purely one-sided. Like, you get all of your opponent's stuff and none of their stuff. So it's kind of a finisher and a wrath, ideally, where you, like, blow up all the blockers and swing in and kill someone. That's the part I like about it, is it also allows you to force through a bunch of damage, typically.
I don't like seven mana. I think it is way too clunky, and I would rather I would still just play Toxic Deluge, blow up my own board and rebuild, make a double play in a turn, right? Like, I think this just costs too much for what it does and gets outclassed by so many cheap interaction spells. So you are like essentially board wiping, maybe skipping your turn. And if they even have like a heroic intervention, a restoration magic, anything at all, you've done nothing but just skipped your turn. Right,
that
you paid seven mana to
skip.
So I just think that there's just too many things that are good against the style effect. So that's why I, to be generous, I'd put it at C.
What do you think, Phil? Well, where would you put this?
So I always play in every black deck. I play Decree of Pain. In every white deck, I play Undo Inversion. So I assume that I would still play this in every black deck. I can't remember the last time I played a black tribal deck, though. I'd put it at A, and I would.
I promise you, this is nostalgia. This is like it's memories that you've got of it. It's not as efficient as it once was.
I feel like I just played this card, like in my Lauren Eclipse deck. I don't even know. I don't know if the episode will be live, but I've played this card kind of recently, but I didn't draw it or cast it. But I did recently, like, put it in a deck. So I don't think it could be, like, full-on, like, D or C for me. I don't know.
No.
Maybe we split the difference. Like, if Phil's in an A, I'm kind of at a, like, A to B, and Krim's at a being generous, giving him to C. Maybe we just put it in the B tier?
I'm going to be honest with you, there's maybe two other cards that could, like, somehow be worse than this.
Oh,
so I think it's a
horn.
Pretty low C.
Wow, Krim is really
crazy
anti.
For a board wipe.
Krim loves
board
wipes too. That's the scary part. Is Krim knows board wipes better
scary.
Than anyone. Yeah. All right, let's leave it at the bottom of the B's for now, and we can reevaluate later. Let's move on to the next card. This is another new one, Springleaf Parade. So this one isn't a choose your creature type card, but it makes creatures of every creature type. It's double green and X for an enchantment that when it enters, you make X 1/1 colorless shapeshifter creature tokens that have changelings, so they're all creature types, and then tokens you control, creature tokens, tap to make a mana of any color. So all your tokens that are creatures are birds of paradise. Phil, I know you're kind of hyped about this card.
I mean,
this seems like a Phil card to me. What are you doing with this card? Where do you put it?
I don't even play a tribal deck, and I bought two of those just in case they spike in the end. So for now, I play it in my different creature token names deck, the custom commander.
Oh, right.
And the more I think about it, it's just generically probably a good card, but especially for weird tribes, like, I don't know, Scarecrows, the thing that the Reaper King, whenever a Scarecrow enters, you blow something up. Usually that was pretty hard because Scarecrows suck. Now it's 2x and then all the Scarecrows. And then this works for all creature types. It's great for Zubera. It enables so many cool things. I'm already talking about the weird things, but just in elves or something, or dragons, it's just going to be generically good in any... I mean, so for me, it's an S. Also,
any sort
neat
of
trick.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. If you have lightning greaves, you can equip them all, tap them for mana. So it's...
Oh, that is cute. So you get a bunch of... Pretty, so it kind of pays for itself, basically,
almost.
It pays
almost. For itself, yeah.
Ooh. I mean, I think this card's really good. I really like what you said about playing it in the tribes that are don't have as many members, right? Like, if you're Zubera, you really need good Zubera. I think this makes it every time. But I also think it's good with some powerful creature types. Like, imagine elementals with Risen Reef into this, make a million elementals, get a million Risen Reef triggers. Anything that cares about, like, a creature type entering the battlefield, this is just, I think, the new most efficient way to make a whole bunch of things of that creature type. I don't think it's S for me because I also have to be like a deck that cares about going wide and has some of those synergies. And I don't think every creature type is going to have those. But for me, I'd be looking probably in like the A range. Krim, where are you at on this one?
I mean, this is close to an S, right? I think for me at least, or a high A, I think this card does everything. Like, if you are a green deck, right? That, like, and whatever, you know, kindred type you are, doesn't matter. Right, because the thing is, these things generate mana. Every deck can use mana.
Yeah, that's true.
So you can go big if you want to go big. Imagine a dragon that says X and 2, and it spawns like a bunch of dragons. Yeah. I think you would just play this in a dragon deck because you say, oh, well, I have all this mana. I can pump it into all these dragons.
Yeah,
I think they pay for themselves.
It feeds into all the things. I just don't know what creature types. Like, sorry, that's too much mana. I don't want any more. You know, like there's activated abilities. There's so many things.
I was trying to think of a creature type that I wouldn't play it in, and I'm not coming up in much. So A, I guess we put it in the S tier. Like, I was A at first, but I think you're right that it just goes in basically any creature type matters deck, and it's probably going to be one of the better cards in that deck. That card's so pushed.
You got to get Raft after this. If you don't get Raft after
survives
casting this, you'll untap.
Yeah, Shapeshifters. Changelings. Very good against Winnowing. Yeah.
That's maybe the only draw that it's Changelings, and it always feels like cheating.
Yeah, sure. Like more fun.
I mean, but if you play, I don't know, Scarecrows.
This has got to be like the best
Scarecrows are so up. Yeah. The best
maybe
Scarecrows are not
example,
traditional Scarecrows.
Actually, it probably is like the best Zubera card too, honestly, when you now that you mention it. Yeah.
I mean, you remember Kiri, whatever, the little plant? Great in there as well, right? So,
there's so many
Tamagoth. I think every commander with a weird creature type.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to a 3-card package of reanimation. So these are all cards that reanimate. We're going to start with the old one, and we're going to move on. So first one, the OG, Patriarch's Bidding, 5-mana black sorcery. Each player chooses a creature type, reanimates all the creatures of that chosen type. And then we got Haunting Voyage. Haunting Voyage is 6-mana, but you can foretell it. So you can pay 2 and exile it and then later cast it for 7-mana. It says choose a creature type, reanimate 2 creatures of the type. But if you foretold it first, you reanimate all the creatures of the chosen type. So more mana, but only you get to reanimate all the creatures of a type. The newest version, Bloodline Bidding from Lorwyn Eclipse, 8-mana, Convoke. Choose a creature type. You return all creature cards from the chosen type from your graveyard to the battlefield. How do you guys rank these cards in a vacuum? Like, are they S tier, A tier, B tier? And then how do you rank them against each other? Do you just play all 3 of them the same? Do you play some more than others? What do you guys think of the creature type reanimation?
That 3 of those in your deck is a bit much because you are really relying on your stuff getting killed a lot. Now, maybe if you're a sacrifice deck or something,
graveyard deck or something.
Yeah. I would never play more than 2 of these.
What 2 would you play?
I have my foil Patriarch's Bidding. That's the OG. It is the classic. Yeah. But I got to put that, you know, because the fact that opponents can do it too. Mm-hmm. It's just too much, right?
I think it's the worst one now, isn't it?
Yeah,
like, it pains me to say it. This card, I love it. I still have my foil one, but I'm going to put this closer now to almost D. Like, this is low C or a D. I'll let you all determine where, but I have it closer to a D.
I'm in agreement with that. Like, I don't think it's stone unplayable because I think there are, like, graveyard-heavy decks where I would play all 3, which makes me lean towards, like, a low C rather than a D, which would be kind of like I would never play it. But I wouldn't go any higher than that.
Are you sure? Think about it again. If there's so many graveyard decks, I still wouldn't play it.
Really? I was thinking, like, the new elves from Lorwyn Eclipse that are just, like, self-mill, self-mill, self-mill. In a deck like that, maybe you want all 3, but maybe not. What do you think, Phil? You can be the decider here. Where would you put it, C or D?
So I usually run Ascent from Avernus as my mass reanimation. So it's got to be better than this, which...
Ascent from Avernus is
my stuff.
Yeah.
It's I got to put Patriarch's Bidding in. Sadly unplayable. Iconic and nostalgic, but you can't just give your opponent six drop or something. Like, if you cast this, that means there's been stuff going to the graveyard, and that's not good.
Imagine me just grabbing my Containment Priest to counter your Patriarch's Bidding, right? Or something like that, right?
Maybe don't cast it in this case, but the other ones are...
So this is where it gets very interesting. I play these cards. Yeah, so you've seen me play that Foretell one a lot.
I've seen you play both. I will say, now that we have Bloodline Bidding, I think it is clearly the best of the group. Like, I think this deserves to be the highest ranked ones. I think Convoke just puts it over the top for me. The fact that I can tap some of my creatures to pay the mana, and this is often going to cost Patriarch Bidding mana, and only I get all my creatures. Haunting Voyage is still good, and I think it's playable, but it is still kind of a lot of mana, right? It's like 7 mana, plus you have to play 2 for Foretold. So for me, I would have this ranked at least a tier higher. I would probably put this in A... Probably A and B is probably how I would do it, but what do you guys think? Where would you put them in the tier list?
So I think if you're playing a Kindred deck, these matter. I think you got to have one of these, right? So because of that, I'm going to probably put the Bloodline one at S. Because I think if you are in black and you are any creature type, it doesn't matter which one, I think you need to have one of these.
So what
and
about
I think this
though,
is the best one.
What about, let me ask you this though, Krem. So... you're playing a creature type matters deck. You still have access to Rise of the Dark Realms, Breach the Multiverse, maybe Eerie Ultimatum, depending on your colors. Is there any argument that it's not S tier because you could be playing other mass reanimation, even if it doesn't specifically care about the creature type?
For the nature of this episode and for what we're doing, I think that it's got to be the S, right? Because like, if you're a creature type matters deck, this is the most creature type matters version of a reanimation spell. Or else I would just then, you know, like I would bring up Eerie or whatever, Emergent Ultimatum. Like that's just like the best reanimation spell of all. So
I just want to say the Convoke won't be as important because you want to cast this after a Wrath. Unless you're some specific deck, you probably won't have much to Convoke. Otherwise, you're kind of overextending, which
I mean, to be honest with you, though, you don't need to, like, even if I Convoke this as 2 off, like, just, I play, you board wipe me, I play 2 creatures, and I pay 6 to cast this, that's still better than like, anything else, right?
Like, winnowing, I could imagine casting for free. This, I am imagining you get a couple creatures on the battlefield post-Wrath, hopefully, and use it and get the cost down to, like, 6 maybe-ish, and you're, like, pretty happy with that, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't imagine, unless you're playing, like, a sack deck or a combo deck, that you're actually going to be, like, tap 8 creatures, reanimate a whole bunch of stuff. That's going to require a very specific situation. So where would you put them letter grade, Phil? Like, so I know Krim's in
I'd
the S tier.
I'd say A-B.
A-B. You know, I think, Krim, you might have convinced me that I would tie break and go S on this. I think I'm also beyond Haunting Voyage, though. Are you good with that? Split them like this.
Yeah.
S tier for the new one. Voyage in the middle. I think that's reasonable. Well, speaking
for Haunting, one minor thing about Haunting Voyage that I just want to note that Foretell is actually an upside. That Foretell being hidden... it means that can now have my hand wield. I can do all of this stuff. Like, I don't care. I don't have to, like, sit and hold this card, right?
That is true. Especially for a late game card. It's pretty reasonable to find a window to, like, pay two and get it exiled. Yeah. And then you don't have to worry about anything going wrong until you're ready to cast it. That is an upside. Well, speaking of Convoke cards, we got another good one from Lorwyn Eclipse. We might as well get it out of the way now. Harmonized Crescendo. So 6 mana, again Convoke. It's a blue card. It's an instant. Choose a creature type, draw a card for each permanent you control of that type. So we had Distant Melody in the past was 4 mana sorcery, and it saw a lot of play, still sees a lot of play in creature type matters decks. This is just better than Distant Melody, right? Like, if you're playing Distant Melody, you probably play both, but this is the better version now, I would think, it being an instant and having Convoke on it. The card seems great to me, but what do you guys think?
S. The instant part is huge, right? If you instant cast this end of turn, draw 6 for 0. It doesn't seem too unrealistic. I guess for 2 or something.
No, I think it's very realistic.
I am in between the two people that would naturally rate this at an S. So does my ranking for this matter?
Your ranking actually does, because I'm not
down to a B.
I actually have a catch with putting it in S, which is I think there might be tribes that don't go wide enough for me to really want either Distant Melody or this. Like if you're playing like a dragon deck or something, or like I don't know, dinosaurs. Like, I could imagine there being, like, creature type matters decks where I'm playing, like, 20 big things of the creature type rather than going super wide, and then maybe I don't play this card. But if you're spewing a bunch of creature types of the same type, like, I think it's good in all of those decks. So I'd probably be more like high A, honestly, but it's, like, it's super close. Krim, where are you at? You haven't even given it a grade yet.
I love the art, first off, by Tyler Walpole. This is beautiful art, as always. He does wonderful work. On top of that, I just really feel like this is, example, like if you look at the S's, right? You have Bloodline Calling or what Bloodline and that mirror card, whatever, the token generator. Mm-hmm. Those are things that every creature deck would want, right? Because it's essentially a veggie, an important card that you just need in every deck. This Harmonized Crescendo, as amazing as it is, like you had mentioned, Seth, not every deck's going to go wide. On top of that, many other decks and creature types have more efficient card advantage engines anyways. And so like this being a one-off spell that isn't just a continuous draw engine or something like that like this is the best version of Distant Melody. I fully agree, right? There's no discussion there. But like, am I casting opportunity in the current year and like maybe creature type specific opportunity? Not really. I do like the Convoke part of it, but I think this is very much so the one of the better cards in a very specific deck. So I'm putting this at a B. Ooh, I think this is like a B for me.
I think it's so good in like elves or merfolk or like the decks. It's so good in the decks where it's fairies. Yeah. But I don't think I play in every deck.
I'd agree with A, but
I think this is the peak B card though, right? Because not every deck needs.
That's the glue though. No, I think ramp and card advantage is the glue for a deck. And I think this is a classic.
But you have card advantage.
Blue card.
In other ways. So assume that I don't have like Reliquary Tower or whatever, right? It's nice to be able to go end of turn, cast this. I do think the instant part of it is very good, but I could be convinced for a low A, like the lowest of A, but it is just it's like another card draw spell to me. And there's more ways to do that and better ways potentially. Maybe not as much in burst like this can, but I don't know, man. This is just a
instant
card draw spell.
I think the reason I can't put it in B is I think it's way more widely applicable than the damage doubling enchantment. Like, this is something I would want in any deck that can reasonably play it, but some decks aren't going to have enough go wide effects for it to actually work. This is something that I can envision quite a few decks where I don't play that many damage doublers. So it's hard for me to think of these two being in the same tier. Can we get away with low A? Can we all get behind? I know Krim's a little lower on it. Phil's maybe a little higher.
But I think it's higher. Like a high B, right? I think it's a high B. Like it's at the top of B.
I think
instant combo.
It is good. It is a very good card.
The floor is crazy. The floor is zero.
Specific deck.
That's a good point, by the way.
I think a lot of decks, though. I don't know.
Let's just leave it there.
me and Phil are both A's, so I think.
Yeah, again, in between two card draw themes.
You were right.
Of course,
I got it.
Sure, I'm not gonna die on this hill. You know what I mean?
The floor is zero.
That's true.
But that's true for another S card as well, right?
Bloodline Bidding, the floor is kind of zero if there's a Leyline of the Void or something, or Rest in Peace or something. But
this is not. I feel like I need
it at A.
All right, we're going to leave it at A. Let's move on to something easier. We got some cards that I think we might all agree sucks, but I'm curious if I'm wrong about any of these. So these are three cards that all kind of do the same thing, which is ramp you of your creature type and maybe generate card advantage of the creature type. So Herald's Horn, a card I've learned some horrible lessons about over the years. A 3-mana artifact makes you choose a creature type. Creatures of the type cost 1 less. Beating your upkeep, you look at the top card of your library. If it's the right creature type, you get to put it in your hand. And then we got Icon of the Ancestry, which is 3-mana, and you choose a creature type. type. It pumps the creatures of the type +1/+1, and then you can pay 3 and tap it, snake a creature of the type from your top 3 cards, and then the newest edition, Gathering Stone, 4 mana, choose a creature type. Creatures of the type cost 1 less. When it enters, or at the beginning of your upkeep, you can look at the top card of your library. If it's the right type, you put it in your hand. Otherwise, you can choose to put it in the graveyard. Do you guys play any of these, or are these just all hard Ds, like, move on, why are we even talking about them cards?
All right, so Horn, I know everybody that is like an OG Commander player, y'all remember this is like $10+.
Oh yeah,
this card is the sickest 3-mana do nothing. All right, so I'm gonna
every looking at my deck and whipping, it's like actively yes. frustrating to play with this
it
card.
It makes sense it though. If you do the math, it's even in a deck that's
you have
just
the crazy
creature type.
High density, Phil. You have a crazy high density.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it whiffs.
No, just mathematically, statistically, you're still gonna whiff a lot.
It's okay.
The new one has an ETB, but it's 4 mana. Mm. I guess if you really, really need the reduction for some combo or something, not even 4, you couldn't just play a land otherwise. So
these are only good in Ashling, the new Ashling, because that, like, I think these are specifically good there. Icon of Ancestry is like, so I see Horn is 3 mana, skip your turn, 4 mana, skip your turn. Except for Icon, at least it's 3 mana, skip your turn, but give everything 1/1.
Pump.
So,
yeah, a little pump. I do firmly believe that Gathering Stone's better than Herald's Horn, so I at least got to put it ahead, but
I don't know about
that.
I actually would argue
you can
that
put it on
Icon
bottom,
of
right?
Ancestry better than those two.
Okay, I'm fine with that. I'll put Icon in front of both.
The Stone scries, right? If you miss,
it
you can
like
put it on the
surveils, kind of. You put it in the grave. I think it's graveyard. Actually, but yeah, yes, you put it in the graveyard.
Not that it's good, but it's way better than the horn.
it is better than the horn, and you get an ETB. Sure. All right, so I guess we say don't play those in many of your decks. But what about this card? We got our first land of the day. And Phil, I think you pitched this one. This is another shapeshifter card. Abundant Countryside. It's a land, comes in play untapped, makes a mana of any color, but you can only spend it to cast creature spells. And you can pay 6... and tap it to make a 1/1 colorless shapeshifter creature token with changeling. So a creature of any creature type. What do you guys, so like an Ancient Ziggurat effect, but at least you can make colorless mana out of it, so not as bad as Ancient Ziggurat, and then pay 6 for a changeling. Is this card good? Where would you play this one?
So I'm getting this for kind of just my Lonus deck, honestly, because I play so many creatures.
Oh, right.
But the fact that it taps for mana for any creature kind of means that it taps for your creature type. If you play Slivers or something, you can just play this, have another 5-color land. And then it poops out Slivers, which in Slivers' case is probably worth it at some point. In other decks, you don't want to pay for an elf or something.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's untapped and taps for your commander at least, exception supply as always, and then for all the other members of the tribe, I think it's just a staple for these kinds of decks.
I played in Fairies. I'm trying it in Fairies. I played in Merfolk.
Okay.
The games I've played with it so far, I have found that if I am spending 6 mana to make a 1/1,
that's not good.
Things are going pretty bad.
I am like, just you know, send me up to the farm. Okay, like send me let me go. You know, like
Fixing good enough to make up for that, Grim? Like, do you feel like it's a powerful fixing land, or is it actually kind of jank because it doesn't help cast counter spells and Razz, and it's only helping cast creatures, with colored mana at least?
This is exactly why I put it at a B. I think in the decks that just love the multicolors, like, let's go elementals, like an Omnath deck or something like that, I think just having the color is nice. And in a green base, like Kindred-style deck, you can definitely pay 6 mana a little bit easier. But example, in my Fairies deck, in my Merfolk deck, in my Humans deck, this is just not that good. I'd rather just play, like, I don't know, Reflecting Pool, right? I'd rather just play anything else, because then I can at least cast the spells. Like, those decks, these creatures are a little bit more, some kindred types are more spell-focused, and in those decks, I just don't like them. But in, like, an elemental deck, in a specific just creature style, where Ancient Ziggurat is good, this is good.
Yeah, I'd say so, too.
So B's all around. I think
that is a B.
I think that sounds about right. Five color creature types, or some of the weaker ones, I think, too. Like, if you really need a Zubera, it makes a Zubera.
Zuberas are just getting all the random
been
love
a good week
this episode.
For Zuberas, yeah. All right, let's do another old one. This one should be quick and easy, because I don't think I've ever seen anyone play this card, but it's part of an iconic cycle of creature type mantle cards. Kindred Boon, probably the worst of the Kindred cycle. Farm an enchantment. When enters, choose a creature type. Pay two, put a divinity counter on target creature of that type. And each creature you control with a divinity counter on it has indestructible. I mean, this has to be the worst card we've talked about, I think, in 2026. I think when this was printed like a decade ago, making a creature indestructible was actually kind of good. I don't know if making a creature indestructible is all that powerful anymore, especially when you got to pay four up front and then two to activate it. But am I missing anything about Kindred Boon that makes it better than I think here?
This card, so when you pay the mana to make indestructible, it's not an indestructible counter, right?
Let me read it to make sure. So you put a divinity counter on the creature, and as long as it has a divinity counter, it's indestructible. So if the enchantment gets removed, then indestructible would also be removed. But you
so it doesn't do anything
with
Ozzel's
Stacked
On.
Yes.
So it does. Okay, so this card now, you can go ahead and take this and put it behind Icon of Ancestry, but in front of the stack of onion rings and the horn. So you could just move that right there for me.
That's about where I wanted to put it. That's fine, any that's any me, objections, yeah. Phil?
I would take the 1/1 over the indestructible.
I built mono white elves for an upcoming Clash episode where I'm filling in. And it didn't even make the cut in mono white elves, which needs any type of support and can get for the tribe of any reason to play elves. That's not a reason.
Whenever I build a creature type matters deck, a tribal deck, I end up searching in, choose a creature type, and whatever, Scryfall, and I try to like see if I'm missing anything. And I see this card every time, and I think about it for a second. I'm like, nope, not this time. And I've just never put it in a deck. So yeah, I think D tier is about
it. I honestly forgot about it.
yeah. Deservedly. Well, let's bash these last two, the two of these Kindred cards out of the way. There are more of these. Kindred Summons from the cycle. 7-mana green sorcery, or instant rather. You choose a creature type. You reveal cards from the top of your library to reveal X creature cards of the chosen type, where X is the number of creatures that you control of that type, and you put them all on the battlefield, the rest go on the bottom. So basically, if you got six elves, this is going to find the top six elves of your deck. If you have 10 slivers, you get 10 slivers. What do you guys think about this one? It's a lot of mana, but if you can want to win more, it does a good job of winning more. If you can build a big board and then cast this, you can build an even bigger board.
This is like not what it once was, but I don't think it's
used
like
to be
awful.
Yeah.
I think this is, first off, I still think Kindred's Discovery is so high up on this list, but I think this is towards the upper end of the B's. Well ahead of Kindred, whatever, Domination. Sorry, not Kindred Discovery. the board wipe should not even be that high up. I think this could probably be second, with Collective Inferno probably in...
Oh, Krim really likes Inferno.
I like Inferno, but I like Voyage more.
Okay, so you would put it in second and like this and like you put it like that?
Yeah, I'd put it somewhere like that, probably.
Where would you put it, Phil? I've seen you play this card before, I think.
Yeah, I'm always jealous if somebody else plays it because it's so Winmori and just sort of, wow, the top four whatever creature type. 7-mana instant is like, if I don't hold up mana for Ink Shields, I don't think I can hold up mana for this. It is a little easier to set up, but it's by definition win more. I guess
it's so bad if you aren't set up though.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think in general, if you're looking to build your first commander decks and trying to figure out which of these cards to play with your creature type, I think playing like a Bloodline Bidding is way more important than playing something like this, because this is going to help you when things go wrong.
Yep.
Kindred Summonings.
Yeah.
It can do very spectacular things when you're already winning, you're already doing well. It can lead to like a super crazy turn, and that's part of the fun of commander. So I still play it on occasion because I like to have super crazy turns and deal thousands of damage. But as far as actually winning a game, I think it's actually like a little bit excessive a lot of times. Most of the times I play it because I think it's fun and I just like big value-y plays, but I don't play it because I think it's especially optimal most of the time.
Yeah.
So, B's. All right,
is there
about
a discussion for it to even be a C? Like, what's a C look like here?
So C would be like, so D is basically I never play this card. This would be, I rarely. Like, sometimes I do, but most of the time I don't. But every once in a while. And this would be, like, more of a 50-50 shot that you play the card in B tier.
Okay.
So I could see an argument that it might actually be a C.
I think it's like
most
C.
Of my creature type matters decks, I don't play this card, but every once in a while I'm like, ooh, I'm going to pull it out and it's going to be fun.
It always feels like it really feels like the 104th card more than the 101st card.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it's about a C along with Kindred Dominance, but you know,
plus,
whatever you guys keep out of
C
there.
Is, plus C is open. We need something in the C tier, right?
It's like Kindred Dominance should also be there.
No, I like Kindred Dominance.
Okay.
Are you good with C, Phil?
I'm fine. I'm still jealous if somebody casts it, but the board wipe is coming.
What about Red Kindred? Kindred Charge. Kindred Charge is 6 mana. Choose a creature type. For each creature you control the type, you get a token copy of it with haste that goes away on the end step. You have to exile them on that end step, so no sacrifice triggers or anything. This has kind of the same problem as this, except even more so, because it doesn't generate card advantage when it does work. So I think it has to be below Kindred Summonings for me, even though it's one less mana. I would probably put it D tier, but I'm open to arguments if you guys think it could be low C.
I think it's a low C. I played it in my, what's the deck? The dude, Gearson Starn. I played it just as a way to like generate a ton of pingers. Just because, right? Like you do actually just play a lot of wizards, like naturally. So I don't know. I think it's like a low C. I'm fine with where it's at.
It triggers Caretaker's Talent, Phil.
Sure.
Not
yeah.
enough.
No, it's, yeah, if you build around it or something or play maybe elementals, but that's just super specific. I think in a random soldier deck or something, you can play better things to finish the game. Insurrection.
No, that is true. And it's another card that just, like, if you don't have a board, it does literally nothing. And even if you have, like, an okay board, you still usually don't want to cast it. So you need, like, a really good board, and then it makes that board great. But if you got a really good board, do you need it? Not really. So, well, let's get the last one. Last one down. I think this is easily the best of the Kindred cycle. In Kindred Discovery, 5 mana blue enchantment. When it enters, choose a creature type. Whenever a creature you control of that type enters or attacks, you
there
get to draw
is.
A card. This is the first card I add to most of my tribal decks. Like, if I'm in blue and it's any sort of, like, go wide style tribe, it's so crazy
Hell
that
yeah.
it draws, like, Toski, but even better because it's attacks and not combat damage, and it draws on enters. It's just, this is like, I remember, Krim, when you were saying, oh, Harmonized Crescendo, maybe you have another card advantage engine in your deck, so you don't really need it. This might be one of those other card advantage engines because it's just so incredibly good. But
see, I
think
this is way better than Harmonized Crescendo, right? Like, this does everything that I want it to do. On enters, it gives me a card. On attacks, it gives me a card, right? Because, like, I don't want to take a turn off to tap all my things down and draw cards. Of course, that's the nice thing about it being instant crescendo. But, like, this just allowing me to be aggressive, to swing out, also on casting the creature or having it enter. These are just, like, really good ways for me to generate cards. And I like that way more than what crescendo is doing. I think that this is probably, if you're in blue and you're a creature style, like, whatever, creature-based, like, deck, you want this. I think this is an S.
Oh, yeah.
Are you,
I mean,
are you,
especially
you think,
with the other S there with Springleaf Parade, and then you
draw
X as well.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, so good. Oh,
and then every turn you draw. It's such a huge bomb. It sucks that it's blue, because that's kind of not too many tribes, right? It's like
Leviathans,
if you even want to.
That's fairies.
Call this, and then
that's
fairies
merfolk.
And merfolk.
Yeah,
that's birds.
Cephalids.
Birds?
Yeah. Oh, wait, that is great.
Zubera.
Yeah,
Zuberas are
and
in
Zubera,
blue.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the best cards for basically. Being blue is annoying because that means not every deck can play it. I'm playing way more decks, but it's so good.
To be fair, blue has the evasive tribes then. Birds, fairies, and Norfolk with Island Walk and stuff. Maybe its best home is actually
blue. It's at
blue,
its best.
And it's already blue. Yeah.
I always think of Richard with this card and just, like, dropping a bunch of birds and then playing this and drawing all the cards. And, like, it's a very, very Richard thing to do. Well, let's move on to another group of cards. And let's get the... Well, actually, you know what? Let's do this one first, and we're going to do these other three together. Another land here, Three Tree City. So, Three Tree City. When it enters, you choose a creature type. It makes a colorless, or you can pay 2 and tap it and choose a color, and you make an amount of mana of that color equal to the number of creatures you control of the chosen type. So, like, a Nykthos Shrine to Nyx, but for creatures. When they first spoiled this card in Bloomburrow, I thought this was going to be, like, an insane card and was going to see playing a ton of decks. Turns out it's still good in the right deck, but my experience has been it's a lot harder to get a whole bunch of a single creature type on the battlefield than it is to get pips on the battlefield for Nykthos. So it has not felt like Nykthos to me in most decks, but I still think if you're a go wide tribe, it's very good. What have you guys found with Three Tree City over the last year or so? Like, where does this show up? Where does it rank?
I mean, all the decks that I have, it's been phenomenal.
It's been great.
Like this, it's actually been absurd. Right. Cause like, I mean, we did a Clash episode and like just, I was able to just with, you know, I was in the lead and y'all like were doing a bunch of things and I was able to just make like 7 blue mana, like 8 blue mana, right, off of my Merfolk deck. And it felt very strong there. It's felt very strong in my fairies deck, my zombies deck. You know, it felt very strong in my humans deck.
I can see that. And really, like, it's 3 mana total to activate it. So you really only need 4 creatures to generate mana.
Yeah.
And even if you're only generating 2 or 3 extra mana, that's still incredibly powerful on a land. So even if it's not doing the tap for 10 or tap for 15, even if it's tapping for 5 or something, that's still worth it. What about you, Phil? What has your experience been with 3-tree?
So my experience has been very meh. But then again, I don't play many tribal decks. It's weird that I wouldn't put it in S. I'm sure I could be convinced otherwise if I played a bunch in go-wide decks. But since it's not as good in dragons, angels, leviathans, demons, whatever.
The big,
I guess we can keep it at A.
Yeah, I think it's an A.
Is the right place for it.
That's where I would lean, yeah. Like, if you're going wide, I think the opportunity cost is so low, you should pretty much always play it. If you're going tall, though, and just playing a few big things, it loses some value.
100.
What about the rest of these lands here? So these lands are all very similar.
One is not like the others.
Yeah, well, they're all very similar. One's way better than the rest. So they're lands that when they enter, you choose a creature type. They make colorless mana or mana for that mana of any color for that creature type. The big upside is Cavern of Souls also makes the creature that you cast with it uncounterable. So this is clearly the best of the bunch. How good are these cards?
There is a discussion for Secluded Courtyard and like the Eclipse land from Lorwyn Eclipse that because you could use the mana though to then add color mana for activated abilities, that could also be very beneficial. Whereas like Secluded Step.
Unclaimed territory. Yeah.
That one I would not play anymore. I just think there's so many of these rainbow lands that are creature type specific that can also add towards like activated abilities. Yep. So I put that card, Unclaimed Territory, either in D, high D, or maybe like very low C. So
I don't think if you want to activate, unless you play around an activation, you probably have enough lands to do that with that are not this, and then the rest of the cards you can pay with this.
I don't know, man. I find that it matters in some of these decks that have like so many like colors in them. Like there, it's really nice to have the ability to activate abilities with these lands as well. Which is where
Courtyard is strictly better. It is.
Yes.
And Cavern actually suffers from that too, that you can't activate abilities with it, although it makes up for that by making it uncounterable. For me, Unclaimed Territory, it's purely like a 4 to 5 color land. If I'm playing like a 5 color creature type Manders deck like Slivers or something, I think it's worth it every time, and it's super budget friendly, which is nice. If you're like a 2 or 3 color deck though, I don't need it. Like even if I would rather play Fetches and Shocks and Surveils and stuff rather than play this. Secluded Courtyard, I would put it ahead of this. I don't think like what do you think? Is it a whole tier higher? Is this a like low B card or is it just a higher C card? I feel similarly about it, where I basically play this in 4 or 5 color tribal decks, but Krim is very right that it is an upside, a strict upside to be able to use it for abilities too. So it has to rank higher than Unclaimed Territory.
I still play with it.
Okay.
I'd put it in low B. Okay. Like to high C, like you just had it, but I think Cavern is like probably S.
I also would think that Cavern, the only downside of Cavern is its price tag.
Yes.
It is an expensive card.
Removing the budget side of it, right?
Yes.
Like, let's say this was free or it could be, I would play it, right? I would play
every
it every
time.
Deck.
Every time. I'd play this in mono-color tribal decks, up to 5 color tribal decks.
I'd play this without a tribe. If I really want to resolve my commander, like Lornus, I would put this in, say, Elf or Scout or something.
Yep.
Save some other creatures, but make sure my commander resolves. This one is not like the others.
I will say at the end of the day, it is still a land. So, but it is like a S land.
Yeah,
but
that's fine.
I'm not putting that above like Kindred Discovery or, you know, any of those cards. Yeah. It's at the end of S.
At the end of S. Yeah, I think that's the best. That sounds right. Yeah.
It's the best of what it does. 3-3 City looked so promising in spoiler season, but then again, dragons and stuff don't need it.
In the right deck, 3-3 City has a higher ceiling, I think, but the floor of Cavern is just so high. Like, it's so hard for it to ever be that bad in any creature-type matters decks, and even some non-creature-type matters decks. Let's go to a new one-off. We're almost done. We got three more one-off cards, and then a couple of groups, and we will have wrapped it up. This is a card that came out since we last talked about creature-type matters cards. Raise the Palisade. Raise the Palisade is a 5-mana... Choose a creature type. Where is this card? There we go. 5-mana sorcery. Choose a creature type. Return all creatures that aren't the chosen type to their owner's hand. So it's basically Kindred Dominance, but rather than killing the creatures, you bounce all the creatures, and it's 2 less mana. So Raise the Palisade. Where are we at with that
S.
one?
This is an S.
Ooh,
this is an easy
wow.
S. Doesn't matter which creature type you have or which one you are. Do you not interact? That this is your interaction. This saves you. It's cheap enough. It's only 5 mana, and it bounces everything.
It is what?
It
is
no. It's not a sorcery. It's a sorcery.
Mana, it doesn't really save you, right?
No. This saves your board. This is a one sided thing. This is so strong at 5 mana. Dude, this card is very. If you ignore the price tag attached to this card, I think this card is very
is it expensive?
Good. Yeah,
is almost $20 now, which is wild. Ooh. I didn't realize this card was expensive.
This card plays so well, dude. I just cannot stress this enough. If you are a blue Kindred style, whatever creature matters deck, you want this. I think you want this in blue.
What do you think, Phil?
These are the cards that blow me out and I say, yikes, back to square one, especially with all my tokens and stuff. So I can't. I would eat my words if I said, oh, this is bad. I wouldn't put it at S, but probably A. It buys you a bunch of time.
What? How? I guess let me ask you this. Is this not the definition of an S, though? It is, if you are a blue creature type deck, how do you not want this? Other than you just, if it's your play style that you don't like interacting as much, that's understandable, sure. But I think that, like, if you are a blue creature based deck, you want this. It's a one sided swing.
Oh my god!
Here's my main catch, Grim, and I think I agree that if you're like a blue creature type deck, it's worth playing pretty much all the time, which I guess puts it pretty S-y. My catch I have is I kind of feel more or less that way about Kindred Dominant. Like, only 2 more mana. It's 2 more mana. It's hard for me to see, like, this
you
being
don't...
an S and this being, like, a C or a D.
That
I
is
just don't
true.
See the gap
no,
as
no,
being
no, no,
that,
no, 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 no,
that
the gap
far
is
between
huge.
Them.
The gap
you,
is
you say
huge.
The gap in mana, or do you mean that Bounce is better than Destroy at this point?
Bounce because is better than Destroy because you get around.
No.
Think about blue. ETBs. Think about blue. Think blue. Think blue. Okay?
Well, you
what are you all about?
Everything?
Krim might, actually.
Okay.
You might counter it all.
Think blue here. You are a deck, usually most of the creatures that are in blue, maybe outside of like Elementals and Leviathans, are always focused on how can I get the cheapest spell to do the best, like, you know, most efficient thing, right? Like a lot of them have similar to like tempo adjacent strategies, right? And then on top of that, getting around Indestructible is better in the current year than just Destroy. Destroy, dude, I'm sorry, everything gives Indestructible, right? Like legit. But Bounce, that's way different. How many times has it been so much more annoying that you bounce something than you destroy something? I would always rather you try to bounce or destroy something of mine than bounce it. Now, I know some of you can say that, like, okay, what if I get my ETBs again? This is a one-sided effect for 5 mana. 2 less mana is all the difference. You've seen it. There's games where I don't even get past 5 mana. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, this is cheap. It's efficient and it's one-sided and it plays very nicely into what blue wants to do. It gets around a lot of modern card design because everything is indestructible. So I'm sorry. That's all the difference.
It's funny. I agree the card is really good. I don't know if I agree with the argument that bouncing is like better than destroying or whatever, because I think it's very like, situational, like depending on the matchup and so forth. Like I can see, like if there's a heroic intervention, obviously you'd rather bounce. But then there are matchups where if you're making me pick up a bunch of Risen Reefs and like stuff like that, I'm like, hey, thank you. Yes, I was gonna do that myself if I could have. So I think
I
like,
promise you, even having to pick up all the Risen Reefs and all of that, like that is only made possible because, well, first off, Omnath is busted, 4-color one, right? And so that's only made possible because of that. But if you are removing the fact that you were playing an Omnath deck, even redeploying these threats again is a lot.
Yeah.
It is a little time walky.
It is.
It is, right? You've essentially given yourself the play. Like, you've made everybody else essentially skip their turns. You still have a full board. This only costed 5 mana. I'm sorry. Whatever interactions you may have had, like, sure, if you wanted Teferi's Pro your way out of this, feel free, right? That's fine on me. But, like, that's better than me paying 7 mana to then get you to just heroic intervention me or something like that, right? I'd rather you waste your Teferi's Pro, your Clever's Concealment, whatever.
And you can do the same trick of, like, same trick as Kindred Dominance, where you basically bounce all your opponent's stuff and then have your board to maybe kill someone that turn if you have a big board, which yep. I really like. So I think the card's really good. Where are we at with it, Phil?
It's got to be an S.
Hey, it's fine.
It's got to be an S, guys. Come on. There's no world where this is not an S.
I want to see it in action. I admit that it's a blowout and it's...
You know what? I think here's my argument for S. I know Tomer loves this card and he's out sick today. And if he was here, there's no way he wouldn't be pushing for this to be S tier because he plays it in every deck. So let's go with the Tomer Crim and we'll put it at the bottom of S because I know Tomer is also about Rave the Palisade. it's tempo. All right, let's get this out of the way. I don't play this card, but I know some people do because they like it for some reason. Urza's Incubator is a 3-mana artifact. You choose a creature type, and creatures, spells that you cast of the chosen type cost 2 less to cast. So very powerful ramp because you can cast multiple creatures in the turn, so they each would get that discount. So it can be very explosive. It's kind of funny, a lot of the cards we've talked about today, we've been like, oh, they're really good in go wide decks, but if you're going tall, they're not as powerful. Urza's Incubator kind of flips that, right? This is going to be at its best if you're playing the Ur-Dragon or Dinosaurs or something with a bunch of really expensive creatures. Do you guys play this card? Are you Urza's Incubator believers?
I played in my Demons deck for that exact reason, right? It goes great with go tall decks. The only concern here is that people often miss that this is every demon or dragon gets that reduction.
It affects your opponents too. Creature spells of the type, not just for you, for everyone. So you could low roll, and if you're,
dragons else are is playing a popular the same enough type. Like type, right? Angels are. So like I'm playing those, maybe I'd be mindful of that because helping your opponent's angels may not be the best thing. I do think this is a B though, a strong B. Very good in the go tall decks because it's nice when I don't have to pay 8 mana for a demon. If I can pay 6 mana or 6 to 4, this is all the difference. The 2 mana difference I'm talking about between Raise the Palisades and Kindred Dominance, that's for the exact same reason why this card is really strong. That 2 mana difference is everything.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in agreement with that. I think good and go tall decks, don't play it and go wide decks, probably puts it as a B. What about you, Phil? You're kind of in the same
range. I never play it, but I've seen it played, and it is very good if you're on tap with it. And it's an acceptable cost. If it was 4 mana, I'd say that is a little late. But it ramps 3 into 6, basically. Yeah, and 6 is kind of where
it's
iconic
super
creature
mana
types start.
Oh,
like demons and stuff,
bombs.
They kind of start at 6. I guess 5 these days, but that's fine. You play 2 5 drops.
I think this is the top of B. This is the top of B. Yeah.
Well, I do like displacing this red enchantment.
Yep.
I'll accept that.
This is the top of B.
All right, one last standalone card, and we'll do the last two groups. And this one is one of my personal favorites, Roaming Throne. It's a creature. It's our only creature we've talked about today. It has ward 2. It's a 4-mana 4/4. When it enters, you choose a creature type. It is that chosen creature type, along with being a golem. And then it says, if a triggered ability of another creature you control of the chosen type triggers, it triggers an additional time. So it's like, Super Panharmonicon, where it's not just ETB triggers, it's attack triggers, it's dies triggers, name a trigger, this is going to double it. This was a card I remember when it was spoiled. We were like, oh, is there enough triggers? Like, maybe they play in this deck and that deck. And since they printed this card in, Lost Caverns of Ixalan, I realize more and more that you just it works in every deck. Like, you don't have to even have to think about it. Like, if you're a creature type matters deck, it is the exception to the rule that your deck is not going to have something that does some ridiculous thing with Roaming Throne. So now I don't even think about it. I'm just like, oh, I'm a creature type matters deck. I'm going to play Roaming Throne in the deck. So for me, it's actually a pretty easy S, or at least like a very high A. But where are you guys at on Roaming Throne?
I'm so happy I opened this at pre-release. Oh. It's so expensive these
days. It's almost 50
and
bucks
it is
now, yeah.
Yeah.
So good. I play it even in, was the one that poops out constructs just to say artificial so I get double triggers on my commander. So it's even good outside of these days.
Outside of creature type matters, yeah.
Yeah, it's just if you have one creature that you want to target with this, it's already great because it's a 4-mana, 4/4 war 2 on tribe. To me, it's an S.
For me, it's actually an S too. Like, it's a, the fact that it becomes a creature type is so nice too. So it even counts like towards your lords and stuff. It's going to work
it
with that.
Doubles your commander. Like, it's usually like triggers abilities or something for commanders.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always, every time I put it in a deck, I find synergies that I never thought of. And I'm like, oh my God, this card's even better than I thought. And that just happens every time I play with the card. So I'm also fine with putting in the bottom of S. Are you good with that, Cram, if it's low S instead of high A?
Sure. I'm not as high on it as you guys are.
Yeah.
I do think it is absurdly good, but like not every trigger I care about doubling. So sometimes
that's just true.
Like more synergistic pieces than role players. And this is like the best role player. Right? Like the best of the best role players. But so that's probably deserving of an S. Sure.
Man, we got a lot of S's today. Normally we do these tier lists and we have like one S, but today we actually have a bunch. All right. Our last two groups of cards. First, we have make your creature type big card, starting with the Richard Classic, Coat of Arms, 5-mana artifact. Each creature gets +1/+1 for each creature in play that shares a creature type with it. Count your opponent's creatures too, which leads to some wonkiness sometimes. Then we got Door of Destinies in OG Lorwyn, I believe.
Yep.
Door of Destinies.
Of course.
When entered, you choose a creature type. When you cast a spell of the chosen type, it gets a charge counter, and then creatures you control the chosen type get +1/+1 for each charge counter on it. And then our newest addition, Banner of Kinship, 5-mana. When enters, choose a creature type. This artifact enters with a fellowship counter on it for each creature you control of the chosen type. Creatures you control of the chosen type get +1/+1 for each fellowship counter. So basically, it's reverse Door of Destinies. Door of Destinies you need to play first and then play creatures to make them big. This you need to play creatures and then play Banner of Kinship to make them big. What do you guys think of these cards? Any favorites that stick out? And where would you rank them as a group?
Door of Destinies going to the bottom of probably
it's got to be unplayable, right? Like, do you play this one, Phil?
I played in mono white else. I think it made the cut, but again, it's mono white.
Yeah,
at some point you can't be a chooser.
Yeah, there's got to be
no
bad
Coat
ones.
Of Arms in there. Although, due to the theme of the episode, I just don't want to give you guys Coat of
if
Arms
everyone's
for
playing
your
yeah that's a problem
stuff,
with Coat of Arms, right? It's probably worse right now than it normally is if everyone's playing Lorwyn Eclipse decks built around creature types, because you end up pumping your opponent's stuff too much. We've had this happen recently
between friends and I.
it happens just accidentally
if you play like a Purge Protection and get 4 birds, then you already have an army, and then
of
stuff
like
I play
4
a,
floors.
The new changeling ramp guy. And then every of my opponent's creatures
Mutable
gets
Explorer.
Buffed for this. Yeah, I think this Coat of Arms is kind of
we're talking about it like it's bad, but Richard has killed us with this a lot of times.
Yeah, your stuff
why is that?
Gets huge.
Right? Why is that? This card in raw power is probably still at its best. Because believe it or not, I think that it counting everything works for you more than it wouldn't, right? Because this is where it depends on the creature type you're playing. Fairies are also what? Wizards. Merfolk are also wizards. There's a lot of just generic types that are just kind of splattered across the board here. And more often than not, some of these types benefit more. I've won with my fairies deck definitely because of my opponent playing Coat of Arms, because having evasive big beaters is much better than ground beaters, right? So believe it or not, I would actually argue that I think Coat of Arms still better than Banner of Kinship.
I would agree with that, I think.
I think it counting everything works more for you than against you. And at the end of the day, it makes it for a spicy end of game, like play. So Matt I think Session. Coat of Arms.
Just a little brain jogging in the end.
Yeah, but then it becomes like a full table game. Oh, everybody has to keep track of every type that enters, right?
I haven't got to play much with Manor of Kinship, although I imagine it has to be decent as like a Beastmaster Ascension type effect where it's like I build a board, I drop this, I swing out, I hopefully kill you because I pump all my stuff like +5/+5/+6/+6. I still don't know if I'd play it in very many decks though, although I could see like where it would be good. What do you guys think of this one? Like, and also where are we putting? Are we putting Coat of Arms in B?
I put a Coat of Arms of A.
You put it in A. Interesting.
Yeah. Wow. I still think Coat of Arms is still one of the best things that you could have for these generic pump effects, right? Banner of Kinship, I'm telling you, the counting everything on board is better than you think it is, right? Obviously, it seems scary because everybody's number goes up, but like I more often than not think it is a very strong card.
Wait, for a banner you're talking about?
No, Coat of Arms. Kinship is like, it's okay, but it not counting everything does actually draw it back. Sometimes it's all the difference.
I'm actually fine with putting Coat of Arms in A, just based on my experience playing against Richard for so long and just seeing this card do so much work. It reads weird and you think, oh no, there's going to be situations where it kills me or it benefits my opponents, and that does happen on occasion, but its power is just so high that the upside of like, I play this, kill the table, is so much higher than Door of Destinies or Banner of Kinship, because the amount of power it can add is just so huge that I still think it is the best version of that effect. If you just want to like pump your board a ton on an artifact, it gets the job done.
And it's Banner, the only one in white border.
Banner, I'm kind of like here, like high C, low B probably, but yeah, that's very in the dark because I haven't played with it much. But it may be the fact that it's been a year since it came out in Foundations and I haven't played with it. Maybe that's a sign I don't think it's actually that good.
It's just okay. And I'd argue that it's a low B, and that's being pretty generous, so.
What do you think, Phil? What do you think? Coat of
Arms?
It's
all mass pump. And you could also play Beastmaster Ascension or...
But that's more work.
All the other stuff. I don't know. There's this white thing that creates hero tokens. And if you attack with enough creatures, it pumps your stuff and stuff. I think there's so many cards that do this in a more interesting way.
Is one of them, one of our last three cards, Obelisk Averred. Do you still play this one?
This is a card I've just dug up, so please tell everyone what it does.
Six mana. It's got Convoke. I bet Krim was building some Merfolk or something and wanted to do a little Convoking perhaps over there. Six mana Convoke. Choose a creature type. Creatures you control the type. +2/+2. That's all it does. So potentially free if you want to tap your creatures. It lets you do it. Only a +2/+2, which is kind of small compared to like a Coat of Arms or even a Banner of Kinship. I remember people playing this card quite a bit forever ago, and according to EDH Rec, people still do play it a lot. I haven't played it in a while, though. What do you guys think? Is it still good in 2026?
I dug it up recently, and I think it is most of the time just a C card. This is the perfect C grade card. I only cared about it because it more so the convoking part of it, which is like synergized with my Merfolk. Otherwise, +2/+2 is nothing too wild to write about. You're a tokens deck, or maybe you're the new Merfolk build. Those are the only decks where you'd want this. But I don't think that's enough to put it at a B either, because those decks can function without this. So this is really a solid C. I'd say it's like right behind the green Kindred Summoning Spell, but not but like way better than the red one.
Okay. I guess I could see that. I think this card, part of the problem is it can focus. Isn't that great? If you're trying to force through damage, you don't really want to be tapping down your creatures and giving them +2/+2. So it's often this, like, I kind of take my turn off and then sit up for trying to get you next turn. And I think Coat of Arms and the other effects are just more immediate. But what do you think, Phil? Are you an Obelisk player?
Again, it is creature pump. I guess it's... It's fine.
It's
it would be cool with Flash. If you could hit the block and then Flash it in. It's not free if it's sorcery speed and you tap down and have very big blockers that are tapped.
I don't know, man. Getting anything free is always worth it, even if it means taking
a
turn
free.
Off. Taking a turn off is all the difference, right? Because, like, let's say now I leave up mana for Teferi's Pro double interaction. Like my Merfolk deck wants to keep up mana so I can counter you as well and interact with you. So being able to just play this for like
You just raw play this and keep your mana open?
Yeah.
I feel sure, like...
if that floats your boat. I don't look into too much mass pump, but I play tribes like elementals or something. So
yeah, you're winning with value, not by +2/+2. Yeah, I mean, I think C is probably fine. Like, yeah, there's situations where it's fine, so I'm fine with leaving it there. Well, let's get to our final two cards. Last two cards, kind of similar. Vanquisher's Banner, and then a brand new one that we're going to get to momentarily, Chronicle of Victory. So, Vanquisher's Banner, 5 mana, choose a creature type. Creatures of the chosen type get +1/+1. When you cast a creature of the chosen type, you draw a card. So, a little bit of, like, Obelisk of Verd or Icon of Ancestry with a pump, like half of the best card draw that we have up here, Kindred Discovery, where when you cast a creature of the type, you draw a card. What do you think of Vanquisher's Banner? And does Chronicle Victory play into your math here? Because that's 6 mana, choose a creature type. When you cast a creature of the type, draw a card, and creatures you control of the type get +2/+2, first striking trample. So is Chronicler just displace Vanquisher's Banner? Do you play Vanquisher's Banner? Do you play them both? Phil, there's some value there, right? You like drawing cards.
I put them both in A, I think, because I think... with the in like casual magic, it can all end up in like some kind of board stall, and this gets you out of this. It's like a Great Henge, which is like a S++ in any deck that plays
Great
creatures.
Henge is 2 mana.
yes, but these are still amazing, unless I guess you would play them in elementals or somewhere where you get all the value anyways. But if you just play like elves or something, man, that is very good.
So
Kindred Discovery.
So but, I mean elves, but what's funny here is like elves have like Beast Whisper, right? So like
and the new champion.
Yeah, but, the new champion.
I mean, any like go wide, like play a lot of creature types, I think these cards are very good in. So I play them in Chieftain or Merfolk or those. Do you not like these cards, Grim? Is it too slow?
I think one of these is very different than the other. And I think that Phil talks about closing games. Chronicler of Victory closes games. +1/+1 does not close the game. First Strike Trample 2/2 does close the game,
that's
right?
True. Yeah.
So a card advantage engine, again, lots of ways to get card advantage in the current year. So it has to actually
it's
do
colorless.
Something. Vanquisher's
Wait,
Banner?
Gotta admit that these are colorless.
No. These are colorless. You're right. But like, let's be honest, +1/+1 is not much of anything, right? And more often than not, I found myself cutting Vanquisher's Banner quite some time ago. The card just wasn't that good to me. Now, Chronicler Victory. Now, this is a card. I think the First Strike Trample 2/2. That's
a
card.
Very cool, yeah.
Trample
is huge.
The keywords close. The pumps close. The card advantage, now
we're
cooking.
First strike as blockers is also crazy. You can't attack into first strikers. Like,
correct.
If the whole team has first strike, it's just
correct.
No attack zone. So this is, like, giving keywords is crazy. I'm not going to deny this. I'd still play both if I play, like, I don't know, soldiers again. Or even, I guess, goblins have some sneaky way of getting card advantage, but there's a lot of cards, tribes that really need the colorless advantage pieces.
Are there, though?
Yeah, like, I'd say so.
Zubera.
Zubera needs a little bit more than that, right? Zubera needs divine intervention at this point, right? But, like, Vanquisher's Banner is a card that I feel like has had an unnecessary price tag in way more decks than it has any right being in for quite some time.
The power being colorless. So you can just play in any janky creature type that doesn't like have good pieces and it's good. I will say,
maybe?
Like, Kindred Discovery is just better and you can only play so many of these effects. And now I worry that Chronicle of Victory is just better as well. I'm not sure if these are like A, B, B, C, whatever. Like, I will strongly say, though, that I think Chronicle's got to be at least a tier higher than Vanquisher's Banner. Like, I think one extra mana for Trample and an extra +1/+1 and First Strike. To me, I think it's they can't be exactly the same. So I just want this a tier ahead of the other one,
beginning
wherever we put
A.
it.
Like, say it's okay if it's beginning and closing part of A.
I think Banner is at the high end of C to low end of B.
So Krim's kind of down here. Hmm. I think I might actually be... I might actually be...
with any tribe with this.
This though. Banner is a 5-mana do-nothing, right?
Banner,
like,
so...
Like, it actually does nothing.
Banner kind of struggles from the same, like... It's good in go wide decks, but only go wide decks that aren't built around tokens, because then you don't get.
Is it though, Seth? Is it good in those decks?
I think it is. I think fine. Okay, it's fine in the go. How about that? Fine in the go wide decks. Maybe not good. Fine. Okay. How about fine in the go wide decks? But I think that I like that Chronicle or like tricks people into accidentally killing their opponents, because sometimes with Vanquisher's Banner you just kind of dirtle and dirtle and dirtle forever. This is accidentally going to make people die. So I think Chronicle's actually legit good. I would be fine with this. I'd also be fine with, for Krim's sake, bouncing this down to like top of too, B
and do something like this. You think Vanquisher's Banner is better than a good batch of these cards would be? Because I may see it better than Banner of Kinship, sure, or whatever. And like it does a little more than the lands, maybe. But guys,
cards,
I think Vanquisher's Banner
cards.
Is
no,
not,
it goes in
not,
more tribal decks than the Incubator, though, right?
And I think it does.
Thing to it with
I put it
should.
Than
it statistically does, but it shouldn't, right? That's the thing. Like,
yeah. No,
I do
it's
not
that bad.
I do not play Vanquisher's Banner that much. I think that card is a do-nothing.
All right. What would you put at the very top of B, Crib? In your perfect world, what's the number one B-tier card as we wrap this up?
I'd probably put either somewhere between Incubator or Haunting Voyage.
So you'd put it like in here somewhere?
Well, Banner I don't put in here at all. So in my ideal world, it's in C. High C.
Banner you put in C.
B at least. Come on.
Yeah, no, we can't bump it all the way to C.
Okay, better than Kindred Dominance. Maybe, actually. Okay. They're both C cards to me. I would put it Kindred Dominance probably over Banner.
Maybe something. Oh, Kindred Dominance over.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Sure.
How about that?
Sure.
Can we all unite?
Sure.
Okay, sure. Yeah. All right. Good enough. I think actually we landed in a pretty good spot. Like, I think we got the good cards at the top. We got the bad cards on the bottom. And really, like, it's tough to go between, like, a high A or a high B and a low A or a high C and a low B. Like, it's very subjective there. But anyway, that is our creature type support card for every deck tier list. You've seen how we rank cards. Let us know how you rank these cards. Like, what do you think of these cards? What do we get right? What do we get wrong? Is there anything super sweet that you can play in any creature type matters deck that we didn't talk about? Let us know about all that in the comments, and we'll be back next week to talk some more commanders. So until then, have an amazing week, everyone. And this is a crew signing out.